Our text reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Paul writes, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which dispensation, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in His name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another, the fear of God."
I don't know, Paul's impression I get, and we kind of mentioned this a few times, Paul seems to me to be a very no-nonsense apostle or preacher. I sense that he's very intense as you read his writings, and he drives home a lot of points and things that, and again, I think a lot of it's due to his conversion and realizing and being in the presence of Jesus Christ himself as Christ appeared to him. And then we know that he was in the desert for 2 years as Jesus taught him and, if you would, brought him up to steam. And I think he never forgot that experience. He never forgot who he was in Christ. And I think as we've studied through this this teaching, that Paul wanted the Ephesians and wants us to understand who we are through Christ and what a glorious thing it is and what Jesus has done for us. And again, turning towards what we in turn are to do and how we are to live. And I think Paul understood that time was short. He didn't have a lot of time to fool around. And as we'll see in our scripture stack, even though Paul had his own personality in these letters, these are words of God. These are through the Holy Spirit speaking to the church and to all generations. And again, how we are to respond to what God has done it for us. And, you know, bottom line, we were dead men and women before Christ, and we were lost, and now we're saved. Now we're a new being. We're, as Paul said, put off the old body and put on the new. We're transformed. We're different. And so, as we look at these things that Paul has pointed out to us, how we are to walk and how we are to live, again, I think he's showing us how to be well-rounded. And I think as we look at our text this morning, we are to be united in Christ and you know, all the things he's already given us and talked to us about, right? How we are to walk circumspectly in our talk or text this morning, but we're walk in love, walk in light, like we looked at last week. All these things make us who we are in Christ, and we, you know, we're not just like we are individuals. We're not how do I say people who are just one-sided, right? We have all kinds of we have a personality, and we look at things and aspects of us. We're very complicated, right? And so I think what Paul is trying to convey to us that as we are Christians, we are not just people who just love, right? We're people who are to walk in wisdom, walk in light, and all these things. And so again, keep us rounded in the sense of who we are to be in Christ as we walk through this life. And Paul's thought was, first of all, in our text, in verse 15, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The word circumspectly is basically walking carefully, kind of keeping an eye on how you're going through this life, right? Being, again, wise and thoughtful as we walk through this Christian life. We're not just going to be firing up from the hip. We're to be think about what we're doing, how we do it. So being thoughtful and, again, walking carefully, understanding that there is evil in this world, and Paul is trying to convey that in a message here to the Ephesians and to us, right? That there is, you know, we're going to be tempted. We're going to have to live in this world, but not be a part of this world. And as not being a part of this world, these are the things that we should bring about in our Christian walk, right? To walk in love and in light, and now to be wise. Jesus said about wisdom, he says, "Behold, I send you out of sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise," Jesus said, "wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10:16. If you really think about what Jesus said there, you know, be wise as serpents, right? That means be ready to deal with things as you need it, right? It's not being wishy-washy. It's not being it's like a marshmallow, I guess, is a way to look at it. But in the same respect, be harmless as doves. And you're like, well, how do you balance something like that? Well, then that's being led by the Spirit. That's being walking in love, but yet walking in light, right? Walking in love, yet calling out evil. Walking in love, yet realizing that we live in an evil time, and that we need to show love, but don't be unwise in understanding of what goes on around us. So our walk demands us really to be wise, right? To understand. And wisdom is basically taking knowledge and putting it in practical use, right? I've known, and I think we all may have known, some very book-learned type people in our lives, right? You could quote your books, but they don't know how to even put it in a practice, right? And so when Paul says be wise, right, we need to take the things of God and use them wisely, be able to use them, and not just, I know all about love and so forth and so on, but how can you put it in practice, right? And so as we were in a battle, we're not left alone. I think verse 16 points to this: redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeem is really, we often think, is Christ is our redeemer. Redeeming, if you look at the definition, it's really to gain or regain possession of something, right? Or so often is in exchange payment. That's what Christ, he made the payment for our sins. So how do we redeem our time? It's really just, we can't take back or get time that we've already spent in our life, but we certainly can regain possession of it. In other words, use our time wisely, right? Live our life circumspectly, as Paul says, in the sense of that don't waste time. And I think I can speak for my own self how much time in my life I wasted doing the wrong things, like living the wrong kind of life. I wasted doing worrying about things that I should not have to worry about, right? Dealing with things that was stupid to worry and deal with, right? And this is what kind of Paul is trying to get us to come back and understand that redeem our time. Like we need to understand that. Paul wrote in Romans 13, he says, and do this, knowing the time that now is high time, awake out of your sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In other words, realize the time we have is important, right? The time that we're here on this earth, we need to use it wisely for the Lord, right? And I think we, as the church, has so gotten so lulled in the fact that, well, we're just going through the motion, and churches have become almost just a social gathering, right? It has nothing to do with doing the work of Christ and understanding that, you know, we're not here very long, right? Whether Christ calls us through the rapture at any time or whether we will die here on this earth, it's still short, right? We're not here very long. And so we need to talk about Jesus in his parable to the talents. And, you know, he gave one talent, two and three, etc., right? And these are the things that he rebuked the person that had the one talent, not because he had less, but because he did nothing with it, right? So as Christians, we have time that we need to use wisely for the Lord. And Paul, as in Rome, as he pointed out, our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Again, it's nearer because the fact that, you know, we don't know when the good Lord will call us home, right? None of us know that. And so every day is that time, right? We don't know whether we be here another 30 years one way or another, or one day, we don't know. And so we need to be the kind of people wise enough to do best we can while we're here, you know. And that's, you know, it's often hard to do that. I know in my own life is, you know, we get caught up in doing stuff, right? We're living. And we kind of don't keep in perspective, as we all should sometimes, that our time is short, and we need to do as best as much as we can for the Lord. So in verse 17 it says, therefore do not unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And as I was looking at that, we need to understand what the will of the Lord. I don't know that, I was thinking about, well, what does it mean by will, understand the will? Often we need to think about the will of the Lord as really kind of three different aspects. Or look at it three major ways. One is God's will through his sovereignty. Okay? And what I mean by that is the for example, Joseph, we know, is a great example of God's will and his sovereignty. As you remember, if you remember the story of Joseph, right, his brothers sold him as a slave, right? And we know he then worked for Potiphar, and then he ended up thrown into jail. And then he was there in jail, and he interpreted the dreams of the two, the potter or the guy that tested or made the food, tested the food, and one that tested the drink or whatever. And all this, but you get to, as you read that, understand the story that Joseph didn't know all in the end story, right? All he knows, he was just one day his brothers, well, you know, throw him in a ditch and sell him off to be sold as a slave. And he does all right with who he is working for, and he was being blessed. And all of a sudden, boom, because of Potiphar's wife, he gets thrown into jail. And here he's in jail, you know, who even knows about me, right? The fact that he was, and so even when he got the promises of those, he interpreted the dream that, yeah, we will tell the Pharaoh about what you have done about it. You know, we'll see about that, you know, that you're in here wrongfully, in here. Well, they didn't, right? Here another year or two before they come about. But all this whole time, God was working behind the scenes or in his own sovereignty to ultimately that Joseph became the number two guy in all of Egypt, right? All this had to come about to get to that point where Joseph was, right? That he interpreted the dream of the king. So again, understanding God's will and his sovereignty, we basically have no clue what God's doing overall in his sovereignty. You know, we eventually see some of it, or we eventually, as Joseph did, as he pointed out, you know, what is he conveyed to his brothers, you know, what you did meant for evil, God meant for good. He came to the realization of what God was doing in the whole situation. Sometimes we are blessed enough to see circumstances in our lives, that how it came about and how all things work together in God's will. But often we don't, when we're in the middle of it, certainly, we don't know what's God's will. We wonder, why am I going through this? And you have to think how Joseph would have to thought during those moments, especially when he was in jail or when he was being sold. You know, how's this, you know, what is going on? And so, again, back to God's will. Is that what Paul is standing? Says, but we need to understand God's will. That's, I don't think, what Paul's talking about. The other point of will or God's will is our own personal life, right? We seek God's will in various ways, right? And often it's those big things in our lives like, Lord, should I take this job, or should I quit this job and go somewhere else, or you know, so those are those immediate things that we seek God's will, but that often is not clear often until sometimes we just kind of step out in faith, and then we get the sense that, yeah, this is God's will. I am in God's will, right? I am doing what God is wanting us to do. But the other portion, and I think what Paul is really is trying to get us to understand the will of the Lord and what it is the will concerning his precepts, or his, if you would, his word or his laws, right? This is God's will right here, right? His precepts, what Paul has been teaching us, that we are to walk in the light, walk in love, and to be aware of evil, and all these things. God is giving us understanding of what his will is for us, to how to live, right? And things we are to do, and the things that we are not to do, right? And so here is what Paul, I think, wants us to be wise and understand God's will in his precepts, what he is asking us to be and how are we to live. And so to be wise is to follow or be obedient to God, right? And obedient to his will. And so here is where Paul is going. Colossians chapter 1:9 says, for this reason we also, since the days we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Again, God's will and his precepts and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God wants us to understand what his will is as far as how we're to live, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. Again, this is where we, I think, as Christians fall short many times, is that we think we know God, right? We think we have a relationship, but are we being obedient to the things he wants us to do, right? And we got to know them. First of all, if we're not reading God's word, we won't be reminded of them, or we won't even know them, right? And so we need to spend time in God's word and study and teachings so that we can be wise and understand God's will. Then Paul goes to verse 18 and says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Dissipation, in other words, is being, don't be drunk with wine, which is, in essence, evil. It says, in Scripture it talks about, not to get along into it, but relating to drunkenness, right? How those, and if you've ever been drunk, and I'm not, Lord knows I have, but what that does is really makes your mind stupid, and you do things and say things and act abnormal, okay? It affects you. But what caught me as I was reading this about being of wine, and then what Paul is really relating to, right, as he goes on, and but be filled with the Spirit. He's using that as a contrast, being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. And it's not like many people will take it in contrast of, we're going to run around back truggies, right, and we're filled with the Spirit. It's not what I think Paul is coming at. But he's also, I think, as we'll see in the verses that follow, the fact that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you watch any TV, you'll see some of these beer and liquor commercials. One that struck me not long ago, I saw it not too long ago, I think it was bourbon or something, I don't know what it was, but it was a bar room scene, and here are these people were all there, half loaded, I'm sure, singing Sweet Caroline, right? And I mean, they were just having a great time singing that Sweet Caroline, if you've ever seen that commercial, right? And I thought when I saw that, I said, look how, quote, happy they are, how, oh, they're having a great time. They're all drunken up, right, or at least high from what they're drinking, right? And so they're having a great time. And then we walk in our churches, what do we find? Oh, we'll sing a song, da-da-da, right? Filled with the Spirit, we should be those singing, not necessarily Sweet Caroline, but with that great gusto and with great, do you know what I'm saying? You know? I think this is what Paul is trying to give his contrast of, is that these people who loosen up and are drunk with wine, they know how to at least express themselves, right? And let down their hair in a sense of allowing themselves to celebrate. We as Christians sit here like a knot on a log, you know, and afraid that somebody will hear, I don't sound too good or sing so well. The Bible reminds us that who are we singing to, right? We're not singing to each other. We're not here to entertain each other. We are here to celebrate our Lord and Savior and to worship. And worship means to let Him know our emotions and with, allow the Spirit within us to give Him what is worth. He is so worthy of our worship and praise. He is worthy, you know? And I know I'm shy kind of person, and I don't like to, you know, I have tried to make myself be more vocal and sing on out, regardless how bad I sing, you know. I'm sorry, you have to learn it, but I don't care, right? He hears, He's got a filter, I pray, that he don't care. Because if it's coming from my heart, right, that's what is important. And then as Paul goes on, as he talks about this, right, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to the God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in fear of God. Do you hear as Paul, he's almost broken out in praise, and as he's writing this, says, you know, again, Paul gives us wisdom and talks about wisdom and walking wisdom and being walking circumspectly and all these things. But also we need to praise God because that is being wise, right? Because who else deserves our praise and God's glory, right? It just really struck me. I'm thinking about, here's a bar scene, people having a great time, you know, and it's appealing to many people because they can just, you know, we're just having a good time and singing and everybody together, right? And they don't care what who sounds like what, they're just singing Sweet Caroline, right? And here we are in churches, and I'm not picking on us personally, but generally speaking, we're afraid to even raise our voice enough to be even heard, especially singing our songs. And Paul says, you know, sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That's got to be our focus, right? To the Lord. The heck with the rest of y'all. I don't care if you hear me. I want to sing to the Lord. I want to give Him praise and Him glory, right? And so, I think we often, and brethren, we're, I think too often have been this way. We've been too stiff, too, you know, can't say an amen. We can't, you know, it just, we got to get out of it, because if we're going to be wise and understand that our time is short on this earth, you know, we need to give praise when God deserves praise, and that is always, right? And we need to lift up God and to reach out to Him and praise Him. So, I see people pulling up, and we'll just close it up here. But again, as we close up with our final song, remember who we're singing to this morning, okay?